Whoa. It takes every kind of people, yes? And we're all the same, right? That was not a trick question. Oh, wow. So I just don't even know where to start, because this is unfolding as one of those talks that I am fully prepared for until Jan gives a gathering prayer that is like, that's the real talk. And the song right before the talk is Everyday People, which there was no coordination except in the upper realm of knowing that is the perfect song. And it's like, okay, so this talk is completely rewriting itself in this very moment, because I have to know, what will you rise up for? Like, you don't really have to answer that out loud, but you know, it's like, wow, isn't that really what it's about? What am I willing to rise up for in order to both represent the absolute nature of God in my interactions with other people and create an environment where they too can show up as exactly who they have been created to be? When I begin to think about the fact that we as people in this human form are all different from one another, and at the same time, we're all alike, it's like, yeah, am I living in a way that creates a world that allows me to build relationships based on that which joins us together because it's familiar, comfortable, and we're all alike, as well as build relationships based upon identifying how you are different from me, and how that benefits me, and how I can celebrate you? We're all different, and at the same time, we're all alike. And there's so much in our spiritual teaching, in metaphysics, in New Thought, where we own and claim that the source of our lives, the source of my life, the source of Maggie's life, the source of Chip's life, the source of every one of our lives is the same perfection. And that perfection is within us, each one of us, and we get to offer the unique ways that the attributes of spirit are configured for each one of us. We get to bring that into the world. So it's like, oh, am I living in a way that I recognize, number one, I need to show up completely? If I don't offer the ways that I'm different from each one of you, then I'm not bringing my full self, that which I've been created to be, forward. And sometimes that's visual. I walk in the room, you can see that I'm a black woman. That both of those things are true. Unless you are blind physically, not making a joke, then you can see that I am African American and that I am a woman. And so that's like, if you there were a test on what do you know about Tracy, those would be like the number one and number two. No pretending that you don't see my color. No pretending that I'm not presenting as a woman, like no pretending, right? You see that. And both of those things are true, and you know that about me, and it tells you some of who I am. But there's so much about me that you cannot see that is based on my experiences, my culture, where I was born, where I've lived, what I've done, where I've traveled, who my friends are, what I learned from my family about what my values are and are not. You can't see any of that. But I can guarantee you that I am a complete and total individual. And there's no one else in this room or viewing the live stream or the recording that is exactly like me. And the same is true for you. I am no exception, right? Just like the master teacher, Jesus walked the earth and set an example, every one of us can set an example with the people we come into contact with the situations and circumstances we find ourselves in. Because all that's ever really happening is spirit expressing life, expanding life, demonstrating life, growing life. And the way that spirit, one of the ways that spirit does that is by making sure there are 7 billion plus everyday people playing life in the world. So Jan's question in the gathering prayer is a really, our questions in the gathering prayer are the right questions for us to remember that I get to choose how I show up in the world, not only for my own benefit, but to contribute to life itself, expressing fully and completely. Now, for me, this idea of all different, all alike, is a fascinating concept. It's a fascinating concept that reminds me that the diversity that exists in humanity is not a mistake. It's not a mistake. In Stained Glass Spirit, in the most recent book, Stained Glass Spirit, in the first section is titled Diversity is a Divine Idea. Right? So the book has 5 sections in it. And I start with that because I am shocked, and dare I say appalled, but I am shocked at how often I am talking with people from New Thought spiritual communities, I get comments like, well, we don't need to talk about diversity because we believe in oneness. Or, I really don't talk about diversity too much because, you know, that's all about separation and divisiveness. And, you know, we just like everything to be nice, and even we don't want to upset anybody. And so we, you know, just don't even talk about that. And I like, you know, can you picture in your mind, most if not all of you have been around dogs as pets. And when a dog hears a sound it hasn't heard before or that seems out of place, the dog might be looking right at you and the dog hears the sound and goes, right? And the ears perk up and he goes, huh? Like, huh? What? And that's what I feel like on the inside. That's what I'm doing when people make those comments, like, huh? Like, oneness has never meant sameness. Oneness means that there is a... Right, that there's a lot of different things that come together or that have come from the same source and then sprouted out of that in their unique ways. And the oneness is the collection of all of that multiplicity coming together in unity. Right, that's what the oneness is. I experience oneness with the source of my life, the creator, the higher power, and that my oneness, there is nothing that can separate me from that. And since that's true for each one of you, that means that we all have this connection, this unbreakable connection to one power, one universal mind that is operating the world. So I am connected to you in ways I could never, ever break, because we're all connected here. And if diversity is part of the divine design, why wouldn't I talk about it? Why does that have to be divisive? Like, I can't even acknowledge that you're 20 years older, or that you have found your way in the world through a different profession, or that you grew up in a different country, or you speak three languages I don't speak, or that you play the drums. I don't play the drums, right? Why wouldn't I talk about, why wouldn't I acknowledge that? It's like this fear. So in this first section, diversity is a divine idea, I have one of my favorite Tracy Brown quotes. And I think it's actually my favorite quote in the entire book, of any of the quotes. But on a different day, I might have a different opinion. So here's the quote. Ignoring the beauty and value and uniqueness of different types of people is equivalent to ignoring God and refusing to see all the ways God shows up as humanity. We don't do that with dogs or flowers or trees or clouds or spices or nature or art. So why would we do it with humans? Why do we do that? Why are we so afraid to accept and to celebrate the face of God? The face of God. Some of you may be familiar with the Karen Drucker song, "You Are the Face of God, I Hold You in My Heart." What if you left here today, or maybe even before you leave here today, what if as you approached a person or they approached you, what if, at least in your mind, if not with your voice, what if you said mentally, "Hark, the angel of God approaches." What if everyone who came toward you, or you were walking toward them, what if you said, "Ah, now that is the face of God." Even if they're not smiling at you. Even if they're driving next to you and they cut you off. "Oh, that's the back of the face of God." Right? But would not that make a marked difference in the way we experience our life every day? Oh my goodness. I find it challenging sometimes, as I'm sure some of you do, to remember that even when someone is really different from me, at the core, we have so much in common. We are all human beings trying to find our path among the many infinite number of paths that are available. And we all must work together to create a world that actually represents what God has created. I like to remind myself that the perfect world, where harmony, unity, and love are the norm, has already been created. That's what Spirit created. And then Spirit thought, perhaps, "Oh, let's make this interesting. Let's give human beings free will. Let's see if they recognize what they are and what the world is, or let them play. I mean, they can't destroy it, really. They can't destroy life. They can destroy physical things, but they can't destroy life. Life is immortal. Life is eternal. I got this. Let's be entertained. And so really, our task is simply to recognize, oh, wow, unity, harmony, love. That's my nature. That's all of our nature. Why am I being distracted by this other stuff? I can always choose. You already heard that's my motto in life. You always have a choice. And that also means when you choose and you're going down this path and then all of a sudden you hit this wall, you just turn this way and choose again, right? And then you choose that path, and if it doesn't quite go take you in the direction you want, then you choose a different path. You always have a choice. You have consequences of your choices. I'm not saying you don't. But when those consequences, you know, feel like the brick wall, and then you're like, okay, I see why that happened. Now what do I choose going forward? So it's like, all right, if that's true, then how can I remember that especially these folks I'm uncomfortable with, this group of people I really don't understand, these individuals who are driving me nuts. How do I remember that we're all different, but at the same time, we're all alike? There's only one of us here. So I have five or six ways that I remember that beside, you know, quotes and kind of just doing my spiritual practice, which brings me back into alignment. And one of the ways that I, well, let me ask you. You might be like, no, we don't need this. Would you like to know one of the ways that I remember we're all different but all alike? Yeah? Okay. So one of the fun ways that I remember, in fact, if you're easily able to, then I invite you to please stand. Because you're going to recognize this way really quickly, and I invite you to participate with me. And truly, I'm not making this up. This is one of the ways I remember we're all different, but we're all alike. Take a deep breath. Put your right hand in, put your right hand out, put your right hand in, and you shake it all about. You do the hokey pokey and you turn yourself around. That's what it's all about. Left foot in. You put your left foot out. You put your left foot in and you shake it all about. You do the hokey pokey and you turn yourself around. That's what it's all about. Your head. Put your head in. You put your head out. You put your head in and you shake it all about. You do the hokey pokey and you turn yourself around. That's what it's all of. Backside, put your backside in. You put your back. I know it's church. Put your backside in. Don't be shy. You do the hokey pokey and you turn yourself around. That's what it's all about. Okay, stop. Woo! Okay, yeah, you can't forget the woo. Okay, you can sit. What's the hokey pokey got to do with all different, all alike? I know there's at least two or three of you going, where did they get this lady from? The hokey pokey? All different, all alike? Church? She says, put your backside in. What? But really, I remember and use this as a tool to remember because our body parts are very different. I do not expect my hand to do what the toes on my left foot do. I do not expect my, my neck. My brain was saying shoulder, but I'm touching my neck. I don't expect my neck to work the same way as the thigh or the hamstring muscle in my thigh. I do not expect any part of my body to do anything except be as close to perfect as it can be, doing what it has been created to do. Every part is different. At the same time, they're all the same. They're all parts of a body. They're all contributing to the effective and hopefully healthy expression of this physical body. Each one of those parts is called to rise up in its own way to contribute to the whole of what needs to happen for this earth suit, for this body to take Tracy through the world in a way that allows her to do what she is supposed to do. And so for me, that memory, that reminder is really helpful, because when we believe that diversity is not a mistake, and we believe that it is a divine idea. Like, I am not having a political conversation with you. I'm having a spiritual conversation that spirit has created each one of us deliberately, intentionally, expressly to show up and represent it in our words, in our actions, in our choices. And when we are doing that individually, and when we are creating an environment where others can do the same, then we know that we are doing the work of the divine, translating it into human form. In the Bible, the book of John, chapter 13, verses 34 and 35, it says, "A new commandment I give to you, that you love one another even as I have loved you, that you also love one another. By this all men will know that you are my disciples, if you have love for one another." There have been so many things that have occurred in our society and in our world, in our lifetimes, that make it sometimes hard to know what to do. In 2015, when 9 black people were murdered in Charleston, South Carolina, at the end of a Bible study in their church, millions of people were asking that question, or two questions. How could that happen? And what can I do to make sure this doesn't happen again, or to make sure it doesn't happen in my community? And that question, what is mine to do, is a question actually that I had been using for about 15 years in other circumstances. But since 2015, it's been a question that I have found myself being asked by others a lot, and using, moderating on Facebook a group called What Is Mine to Do? And the longer version of the question is, what is mine to do to reduce or eliminate race-based hatred and violence? And developed into a book and a journal and a lot of things, because so many people were standing up figuratively and saying, I have to be a part of recognizing that in this world, if I'm silent, that is the same as condoning violence, that is the same as condoning disrespect, discrimination, etc. And so there's no mistake that when we live our lives from the place of recognizing we are all different, but we are all alike, we will give more. We will not pretend that we each live in a little vacuum or a box that, you know, hey, I've got everything I need, and my bills are paid, and I have a good relationship, and, you know, it's all about me, I'm good. I don't have to think about what's happening to other people. That is not what we teach in Unity. That is not what we teach in Centers for Spiritual Living or Science of Mind. And you can't fool me and say, oh, Tracy, you're from CSL, you don't really know. Because the people who actually know me personally know that in 1986, my introduction to New Thought was at Unity of Dallas, Dr. Donald Curtis. And I have 20 plus years of experience living in Unity, as I have a couple decades of living as a part of Science of Mind and Centers for Spiritual Living. So I know what we teach. I know what we talk about. And my job today is to challenge you to ask yourself the question, if Tracy were following me around for 7 days with a hidden camera, would she be able to tell, or would anybody who watched the footage know without a doubt that I am committed to living a life that represents love, unity, harmony, wholeness? If I followed you around, what would I see when I captured you on film in the grocery store? What would I see when I captured you on film talking to people you work with or your neighbors? What would be on film representing your deepest values? And so I challenge you to have that question in your head as you go through this week. Ernest Holmes says, there is one spirit incarnated in everyone. That's the place, by the way, that we are all alike, okay? There is one spirit incarnated in everyone, an immortal presence forever expanding everything, causing everything to grow. What a difference it would make in our human relations if we tried to sense the meaning of this divine incarnation in all people and adjust our viewpoint to the truth that all are bound together in the unity of God. Let's take that concept, the unity of God, all bound together, into meditation. I breathe. And in my mind's eye, I see the one source of all life. I see it as light. And I see, just for this moment, that light as a ray, as a big bright sun. I see the rays of the sun shooting down in so many different directions, more directions than I can count. And I imagine that each ray of sun is birthing or nurturing an individual form of life. And this life is God's life, transformed from the invisible into a visible, physical, tangible form, a person. And I choose to recognize that each ray of this light, whether it is from the sun or from the invisible, is the source, the heart, the soul of each person I meet. It is my source, my heart, and my soul. And where my heart and my soul meet the heart and soul of each other person, that is the place where God celebrates. Take a breath. from the deepest place in my soul, I commit now. To see the face of God in everyone I meet. To be the hands and the voice of God everywhere I go. And to remember that no matter what circumstance or condition I find myself in, there is no room for hatred. There is only love. For we are all different. And we are all alike. One more breath. Amen. And so it is.